Having a variety of ways to develop an idea is helpful. When I preach, I like to make a point, explain it, and then apply it to my people. After a while, however, that can get a little boring. I sound like a broken record. Point, explanation, application, point, explanation, application, again and again. Even I get bored. What you're saying is I can use any one of these methods to develop a point in a sermon. Now, how do I know which one to use? Are any of these more powerful than others?
Paul, you've asked a very helpful question. Unfortunately, it's a very difficult question to answer. It's a question that deals with pastoral discernment, with your knowledge of your hearers, who they are, how they're going to react to what you're talking about, and how you, as their pastor, can best communicate that idea to them. I value your experience of recognizing the need for variety. If I were to say that one of these methods was the most powerful method you could use, the temptation would be to simply take that method and always use it throughout the sermon. Any particular method of development used again and again and again is going to be somewhat boring for your hearers. Not only that, it's going to privilege certain hearers over others. If you have those who are visual learners and you're using the method of image that engages them in the sermon, those who don't learn through visuals, those who are much more comfortable with propositional explanations, are going to have a harder time following your sermon. Those who learn by listening in on conversations, overhearing dialogue, those who like to have narratives told to them, also might have a little bit of trouble. So what you want to try to accomplish in preaching is you want to use a variety of methods within the same sermon. At some points in the sermon, you'll be using explanation. At other points, you'll be using an image. At other points, you'll be telling stories. It's the variety of the sermon that's going to hit different hearers in different ways. And we pray engage everyone in this task of listening to and pondering the Word of God. Having said that, I would like to offer a few things you might want to think through. As you're looking at your sermon, you're looking at the idea you want to develop, and you're asking that question, how do I know which method to develop this idea with? The first thing is to think about the anticipated response of your hearers. How difficult will it be for them to understand this idea you're trying to communicate? If you're preaching on how Christians reach out to others in charity, say in examples of disasters, and you're preaching in a Florida congregation that has just gone through a hurricane, it's probably not going to be very difficult for your hearers to understand that particular idea. However, if you're preaching, let's say, in the Midwest, where there hasn't been a tornado, there hasn't been a flood, things have been going on pretty normally for years, you may want to spend more time and use a more engaging method of development in order to grab the attention and help the hearers understand that concept. So on one hand, you want to think about what's the anticipated reaction of my hearers. Is this something that they will agree with? Is this something they're going to disagree with? How persuasive will I need to be in order to help them stop for a moment and think about this thing and understand it the way I'm trying to communicate? The second thing to be aware of is the variety of your hearers. Sometimes pastors have a technique of looking at their congregation and saying, our congregation is filled with, let's say, people who are generally retired and the kids have left home, and that's the majority of my congregation. The average age is something like 52, 65, something like that. And they then, therefore, in their sermon, only include illustrations that relate to grandparents, to people who have retired, to those who are widows, and they don't include illustrations for anyone else in the congregation. You want to be careful here that you recognize the variety of your hearers, and you don't always gear your methods of development toward one particular segment of the hearers, but you recognize that people learn in different ways, you recognize the variety of experiences they have, the variety of skills and talents they bring into the congregation, and so you use a variety of methods to address that variety of hearers. Third, you'll want to think about your pastoral experience of the hearers. Sometimes, after you've been a pastor for many years with people, after you've gone through several traumatic incidents in their life, after you visited them in the hospital, there's things that you can say that you otherwise would not have been allowed to say. And as you develop things, as you develop ideas, as you begin to tell stories, as you begin to become concrete about the situations in life that are disturbing to us and disturbing to God, how concrete you become, how much time you can spend developing sensitive issues, in part depends upon your pastoral experience of the hearers. Do they respect you as their pastor? Do they come to you for care and counsel? Will speaking of such matters be understood as sensitive and caring, or will it be understood as prying and judging? The way in which you handle the pastoral ministry outside of the pulpit in so many ways influences what method you're going to use. If you're going to explain something academically, are you going to tell a real-life story that shows what it is like pastorally? Depending upon your pastoral experience with your hearers, that will then help you make the choice of which of those methods to use. Fourth, you'll want to think about how your hearers value particular methods of development or understanding. For example, experience that some of the students at the seminary often have is they come into the chapel, and sometimes the sermons in the chapel can become rather academic, which is only understandable. They're being preached by academics. They're being preached to students who are in an academic period of their lives. And so the sermons can go into great detail with explanation and academic evaluation of the issues that are present in this text. And unfortunately, sometimes students leave the seminary thinking that when I go out into the parish, my hearers are going to value these academic exercises as much as they value other experiences in their life. I remember I was teaching a course with some men who had been pastors for several years, and I offered them a sample sermon. I was in chapel. I said, I'm going to be preaching this week. Why don't we listen to the sermon I do in chapel, and you guys evaluate what it's like. So I preached the sermon, and I had an opening part of the sermon where I needed to explain what I was going to do, how I was going to handle a proverb that appeared in this text. And then I entered into a story that really developed that proverb for my hearers. When we got back into the classroom, the pastor said to me, well, you know, if I were preaching that in my parish, you could cut off that whole introduction. And I said, really? He says, yeah. He says, you don't need to explain that stuff for my hearers. They don't mind if you just tell a story and relate it to the text. So here is a pastor who understood how his hearers valued particular methods. Highly academic congregations, congregations where the individuals are very interested in Bible study, interested in studying doctrinal theology. These are congregations where methods of explanation will be highly accepted and valued, and those are the ones you want to use at those critical points in the sermon. Other congregations, the people may not value that method as much, and so how they value the method will also enter into your decision. Finally, one last thing to think about is to look somewhat globally at the sermon itself and ask yourself, have I reserved the most powerful method of development for the gospel proclamation of the sermon? Often, pastors tend to use more powerful methods of development for the law. We're naturally inclined to the law, and we tend to come up with great illustrations, great ways of developing sin in our lives. And what you'll want to do is you'll want to look through the sermon and ask yourself, have I reserved the powerful method of development for these hearers for the gospel proclamation? Otherwise, let's say you had hearers for whom explanation is not very engaging, but narrative is, you might have a sermon where you spent all of your time developing the law through stories, and when it came to the gospel, all you did was explain it. Those hearers might walk away much more powerfully affected by the stories of sin in their life than by the explanation of the gospel. And what you would want to do is reverse the techniques so that the powerful method of presentation for them, which would be narrative, is used in the proclamation of the gospel.